please stand and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And we've been in this passage for a while, and so today I want you to focus your attention on probably go ahead and fix that back. Probably one of the most tragic passages and most frightening passages in the parables. Look at what Jesus said in verse 18 of chapter 13. And by the grace of God, we're going to focus on this tragic and frightening passage today. The words of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that is the Holy Bible, especially the gospel, and understandeth it not. You do understand that the gospel is based on the foundation of the entire Bible. So one who is skillful in the word can preach the gospel from anywhere in the Bible. One of the greatest expositors of the word, Dr. Matthew Henry, from Genesis to Revelation, made a beeline to Jesus Christ. It's only hard to do for people who don't know what they're doing. But people who have a heart for God and for Christ and the gospel, from Genesis to Revelation, what some people call the dry books. People like Matthew Henry will take you to Jesus and will take you to the cross from anywhere in the Bible. So the word of the kingdom is the gospel being preached from anywhere in the Bible. Jesus oftentimes used the Old Testament to proclaim the gospel. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that is the devil, make no mistake about it, and his demons, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And thank you, Holy Father God, on this Father's Day created by man for sinful men. Lord, those of us who are truly saved, must thank you for being the greatest Father of all time. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures. And Holy Father God, have mercy upon every preacher who has not made the gospel plain, but mixed it up with a whole bunch of other stuff, other religious stuff, some of it good, but caused people not to understand the gospel, in fact used by the devil to cause confusion in the minds of people, to not understand the gospel by not preaching a clear presentation of the gospel. So many thousands have gone to hell from the church pews because they did not understand. Thus, Lord, to me, this is one of the most frightening and most tragic verses in the parables. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you would have continued mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who name the name of Christ. Please forgive us and cleanse us of our sins so that our hearts can be clear, our minds can be cleaned and clear, so that we can understand your holy word. And those of us who are saved, help us, Lord, to learn from this message today, to make the gospel plain and clear, to not mix it up with baptism, to not mix it up with church membership, to not mix it up with getting people plugged into a church with no starting point and no ending point in their education, and to get it mixed up with Awanas and Pat the Pirate and all kinds of other activities going on in the church. And then, Lord, we pray that those who have been confused by the devil directly and by the demons of hell regarding the gospel, Lord, I pray that you will clear up their hearts and minds and help them to understand your holy gospel even today. And we pray that you'll save their souls. Again, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've allowed us to do earlier in this day, the prayer service and the teaching of your holy word and everything. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And we pray today that you will crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us, not only for this service in time, but for the afterglow service and throughout this afternoon, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, and help us not to be a people who only get spiritual when it's church time, but we're spiritual 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, being real Christians in our hearts. And Holy Father God, we thank you, Lord, for removing the devil out of the way and rebuking the devil and binding Satan so far. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon that you'd cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, these demonic spirits with their demonic sins of pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and witchcraft and selfishness, bad attitudes and bad spirits. Right here. Take that down. Bad attitudes and bad spirits, lying, dishonesty, and deceit. Holy Father God, cast the demons of hell out of the lives of people who have that problem. And Lord, we pray that you will not allow him to raise his ugly head. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from our time here today and throughout this day on this Father's Day. And we pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Save that soul and those souls that are nearest hell, and reclaim the backslidden, and help us all to realize that this could be our last day for the Christian and the person who is not a believer yet. glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as I continue to preach in your hearing, Jesus and the purpose of the parables, part 6, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 1509, since January the 20th, 2017, / day 1874, since January the 1st, 2016. One of my favorite preachers of all time, Dr. Adrian Rogers, said, "The word parable and our word parallel are related words. A parable is a story that is laid parallel down alongside a great truth." Jesus taught us how to do that, and the greatest preachers of all time were able to use parables or stories in their sermons. Dr. Adrian Rogers goes on to say, "The greatest definition of a parable is just simply this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning." Jesus Christ told a story, a very common story, but there was more to the story than met the ear, and you had to be paying attention when he gave these parables. Jesus Christ, as we all know, was both simple and profound all at the same time. In fact, his simplicity is what helped make him profound. The power of his simple words made him profound. Beloved, and today I'm just going to focus in on this passage, verse 18. In our last message, we looked at the reasons why Jesus taught in parables. We also looked at the nature of the sower and the seed. Now let's look at the four different types of soil, and we are going to probably focus on one instead of four today. Different types of soil or hearts of the hearers that the seed of the gospel falls on. First, which we have already read, Satan snatches away the seed of the gospel from the hearts of those who do not understand. Like a vulture, he comes down and snatches the seed. Matthew 13:4 says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Jesus provides the explanation in verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," and I've already explained to you that is the gospel based upon the word of God, based upon the scriptures, which at the time, Paul, when he said it was based upon the scriptures, all they had was the Old Testament. So therefore, you cannot unhook the gospel and the New Testament or unhitch from the Old Testament. Jesus never did that, and we should never do that. The gospel of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I know of a little phenomenon that is similar to this. How many of you have gone to your computer to look up something or to do some constructive work, but something happens to your mind that what you even intended to do, you have forgotten about doing it because so many other things are popping out at you from your computer screen. See, this is why Karen Kingsbury and other creators and writers, they may have a computer and they have computer programs to edit their work, but they must get a pen and a piece of paper or a dead computer that does not have the internet and dedicate some time to doing some serious work instead of trying to do some serious work with the internet glaring in your face, because it has a way of snatching the word, if you will, the purpose of your being there, right out of your mind. Don't dare say it's not true, because this is a phenomenon that's known around the world. People sit down to look up something. Before you know, they have looked up 10 other things instead of that one thing. Why? Because it's been snatched out of their minds by the power of that screen flashing 10,000 things at you. And before you know it, you have wasted 2 hours doing what? Something close to nothing. Looking up everything else but what you're supposed to look up. It's a similar situation. This snatching things out of your mind and causing you not to make any progress, causing you not to understand. Something about the power of that screen that rattles your mind, that scatters your brain. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And the devil is like that. The world is like that. This is he which received seed by the wayside. 2 Corinthians says, in chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us that the God, that is the little g God, Satan of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, I want you to notice from the passage that I read to you, the words of Jesus, and this passage, how that they don't understand, and the devil is so evil and so treacherous, he comes and snatches the word from them before they can even understand. And so they believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And listen to me. I believe, sad to say, many Christians have been slipped. Many people in the church have been slipped a Mickey. They made a profession of faith, they said some words, but they did not understand it in their heart. And the devil knew it, and he came and snatched it away out of their hearts. And that's why we have so many casualties and so many shipwrecks in the church. There are many people in the church who just have never been born again. They have never been saved in the church. This is why to me this passage is so tragic and so scary, so frightening. And Dr. John MacArthur said, Satan wants to make sure it never has a chance, that is the word of God, to penetrate. Yes. Because he knows once the word penetrates, that person is going to get saved. That person is going to believe the gospel and get saved. And then the devil knows that he can never get that person again. See, the devil can't get a truly born again person to just totally reject God and reject Christ and quit on God. He snatches it. Notice the word snatch. That's how the devil is. You have any people in your life who like to snatch things because out of your hand because they have nasty attitudes, they're hateful, they're mean. Have you ever had somebody like that? They talk real fast and move real fast. They're constantly angry and bitter. These people are so wicked. They will not only snatch stuff out of your hand, but they'll snatch it in your hand. I've had to tell a family member, don't snatch anything out of my hand and don't snatch it in my hand. And I make them do it again. That's how the devil is, you see. And people who are full of the devil, that's how they are. He snatches it away. Like a thief, he just... And leave the poor person looking around for that word that he heard, and he can't find it because the devil snatched it while he turned his back for a second. That devil, Dr. Grant used to call him the green-eyed monster, which is he'll just go and snatch it right from them. Many people are lost because of this today, even though they're religious. And the worst church members in the world are those who are religious but lost. You say, well, at least they're in the church. It'd be better for them not to be, to be quite frank. There's no good being produced from it or coming from it. The devil snatches it away through the influence of false teachers who, as I mentioned earlier, they mix up the gospel with everything in the world. And some pastors, sad to say, are guilty of this. They're so eager to get church members. They don't make sure the person is saved. They just, to use their terminology, they just get them plugged into the church. Doesn't matter where they get plugged in. They can get into the worst small group in the church. The party group, as long as they're just hooked up and get with the bad element in the church. They mix it up with baptism. They mix it up with church membership. They mix it up with small groups. They mix it up with Pastor Pirate. They mix it up with Awanas. I thought that churches after the plague would quit all of their unnecessary programs, but many are going right on back to the same old mess that they were doing before the plague, the coronavirus plague. Saw a sign the other day, Awanas. I believe a lot of this stuff is designed to separate children from their parents in the church house. We need to go back to the old time way where children had to sit beside their parents in the church. Sad to say, at one of the biggest Baptist conventions, the biggest Baptist convention the other day, and I told you people would do this. This is sick. White and black do it. They provide a nursery for you and your children free of charge. And somehow you lose your mind and think that these people are supposed to watch your children all day long, even while you go to lunch and you fellowship and you go to dinner. Have you lost your mind, your righteous mind? It's sad to say that the first vice president had to tell the people, pick your children up when you go to lunch and go to dinner. And while you're here, before you start fellowshipping, pick your child up. Now he said it. He said it like I would have said it. He said it very nice. He's a gentleman. But that's ridiculous, people. To despise having your children around you so much. You want to try to be cute somewhere instead of taking care of your children, going to pick your children up. That's wicked. And I'm saying this because this is what they do in churches. That's why they did it at the convention with strangers. They don't know the people at the convention. But people do this to humble church workers at church. Out there trying to, as the old folks used to say, court. Here you are, single with three children left in the nursery and using them as a babysitter so you can try to hook up with somebody else to have a fourth baby. Sit down somewhere. Go get your children and go home. Then your children go to the bathroom, little children by themselves, so you can stand out on the corner inside the church acting like a prostitute, trying to hook somebody, trying to get you a squeeze and a hug. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. I don't care if you like it or not. It's not right. It's not fair. You need to go somewhere and take a cold shower and take care of your children. And stop using your children against your husband, trying to manipulate him and control him, your former husband or your the baby's daddy, and let those children see their daddy. Instead of talking stupid, oh, he'll make a great daddy for my child. No, no, no. The real daddy is going to make a great daddy to that child. The real father can look at that child and be with that child 2 minutes and tell you everything about that child, what the child has, where the child has been, what the child is doing, what's happening to the child, and what will happen to the child, and where the child is going. The real father will know his talents and everything else. His gifts and his limitations and everything else. This is so powerful and so true, is in the news today. That adoptive families are allowing the natural father to get back involved in the life of their children, their biological children. More so than the mother. You know why? Because people have realized children need their biological father. I tried to tell y'all this before. You don't believe, you think anybody can just step in and do this. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. But I digress. The devil snatches it away to the fear of man. People get worried about what mom and them going to say. If I get saved, he snatches it away through pride. So many people have died and gone to hell. See, this is why God hates pride, because of pride. And some people have Pharaoh's pride. Some of my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord from the Caribbean or the Caribbean or the West Indies, whatever you want to call it, especially in Jamaica land. They have a pride that if they don't get help from God to humble them, to break them, to mold them, they will go to hell instead of admit they never really got saved down at the Moravian Church. They just got religion and admit that they need to be saved. There's a pride and there's a Pharaoh-style pride, which is deadly, eternally deadly. that will lead you to total destruction and hell. And you better be begging God to take it out of your heart, because it will destroy your life in this life and the life to come. And I'm not mad at anybody. I've had some of my greatest meetings down in Jamaica. Some of the greatest people I know are Jamaicans. I've had some of the best times of my life there. But this is something that I picked up along the way. And they know it. This is why so many Jamaican marriages are constantly in turmoil. Because of that pride, that stubbornness, that rebelliousness, that strong independent spirit, which is helpful, especially for men, not that helpful for a wife, who's supposed to be submissive and obedient. But be that as it may, don't let that pride cause you to allow the devil to snatch the word out of your heart, the gospel out of your heart, and you end up going to hell trying to claim that you're something that you're not. He snatches it away through doubt, fear, and unbelief. The devil snatches it away through prejudice and pride. I thought about this one day. Where I was raised, where I lived at for most of my life as a young person, I didn't realize this until I got saved and called to preach, that there were Bible-believing, independent white churches, Southern Baptist churches, Methodist churches who contained the gospel, while we were, in most cases, getting sing-song preaching and whooping and hooping, and no gospel. All of the churches that we went to, that nobody preached the gospel. It was all about hooping and showing out in choirs and ensembles and things like that, singing. Nobody preached the gospel back then. We were religious, but lost. And on our way to hell, in fact, I didn't know that I was going to hell. So I know most of the people around me didn't know. And there were white churches all around us who did not reach out to the black community. Prejudice, racism, let them go to hell. And you wonder why young black people are so upset today with so-called white evangelicals and white churches. Because this racism that many of these people have runs so deep, you'll let a person who is black die and go to hell. And there are some blacks who will let a white person die and go to hell. And these things, in the words of James, says, in the words of James, ought not so to be. The devil snatches it away through stubbornness, which goes along with what I've already mentioned, pride, rebelliousness, having that strong independent spirit, I can do it myself. Have you ever been around people like this? You can't help people like this. See, this is one of the reasons why God hates the sin of pride so much. Because he can't even help you when you're proud and stubborn and rebellious and you want to do everything yourself. He snatches it. The devil snatches it away through procrastination. I'll get saved tomorrow. That was a good message, sweet message. I was almost persuaded to be a Christian, but I'm just not quite ready right now. I want to go and get my life cleaned up and stop clubbing and stop whoring around and everything. You know, yeah. And you're going, the next day you're going to die. The next day your soul will be required of you, and you will lift up your eyes in a devil's hell. The devil snatches it away mostly through the love of sin, iniquity, transgressions, trespasses, evil. The love of sin. And there are certain sins that people love very much. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to get out of it. This sexual sins fall into this category. Sexual sins, just as deadly as how drugs can take a hold of you. You want to get that high again and again and again. And you love it so much, before you know it, you wake up in hell. Religious but lost. A member of the Mount Shiloh Baptist Church, but in hell. You were in hell 6 days before they had your funeral. Even though you were a deacon and a deaconess, a preacher, singing in the choir, but lost and on your way to hell. Why? Because of the love of sin. The love of party hard and jam, boogie, boogie, and let the good times roll. And you know you're in trouble if you're old and you still trying to party like you used to. At some point, common sense, at least, ought to tell you to go somewhere and sit down. But we got old people. Some of the craziest people in the world are my generation, the baby boomers. Old as Methuselah, taking all kinds of pills and doing all kinds of yoga and got all kinds of Botox going on. People can't even close their eyes. They can't blink. They can't smile. They can't grin. They got a permanent smile on their face, trying to stay young and trying to stay cute, and they don't realize they look uglier because of what they're doing. Some of the craziest people in the world are baby boomers, my generation. And they're so crazy, they want to accuse the millennials and Generation X and Generation Z of being crazy. And if they are crazy, they're crazy because the baby boomers are crazy. Still trying to party, still think you got it going on like you had in high school. Honey, you don't. Sir, you don't. Sit down somewhere and get to know God. Chill out. The devil snatches away the gospel because we love sin so much, and even people who are in their 40s, their 50s, and 60s. Children don't know who to turn to because the old people out there partying with them, trying to anyway. And they don't want you out. They don't even understand you because you don't understand them. The millennials don't want you partying with them. They don't understand your partying style. And you don't understand theirs. I believe the most disastrous thing in the world would be a baby boomer trying to hook up with a millennial or a Generation X and Generation Z. After they have sex, that's going to be it. And that's not even going to be understood properly by either party. The devil snatches it away. That's a sad situation, Dr. MacArthur says. That's a sad situation. I say it is a frightening situation. It is a tragic situation. And you have to look at your own heart today, dear friend. Are you that hard, dry road at the end of the field? Maybe you even come occasionally to church, and some of us throw the seed at you. It bounces, it disappears. Has your life been hardened by sin and evil, pride and stubbornness, rebelliousness and set in your own ways, that you constantly tread over your heart so that the powerful, productive seed of God's word, of the glorious gospel, can never penetrate? My God, that is frightening. Here's what I do know. If you keep on lying, saying you got saved back yonder because you joined the church, and you know you're not saved, and you don't even produce any fruit of being saved, that you can even recognize as fruit. You have been bamboozled. You have been deceived, and you're running amok. The devil has deceived you. You are deluded. And you don't understand. And you need to understand that if you die unsaved, religious but lost, you will spend eternity in hell. So let me help you get some understanding. By the grace of God, I specialize in making and helping people to understand the gospel. I do not mix it up with everything else. And I thank God many people have gotten saved under the clear preaching of the gospel. In fairness to all pastors, that's my calling. That's not their calling. God called me to be an evangelist. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin, from the pain of sin, and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you understand that? You are a sinner. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't care if you only have two quarters to rub together. You are a sinner. We all are sinners, according to God and His Word. Not only do you know that from the Word of God that I just read to you, but you know that deep down on the inside because of the guilt that you felt about your sin. Second, dear friend, understand and accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always, always. Let me help you. Nobody ever gets away with sin. Nobody. You may think that's the case, but that is not the case. Not in God's economy. Not in God's world. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our bodies will die because of sin. You're going to die. You're not going to die because of the coronavirus plague. You're not going to die because of cancer. You're not going to die because of a car accident. You're going to die because of your sin, your lies, your adultery, your fornication, your disrespect, not honoring your parents and mother, your father and mother. Being mean, hateful, whorish, committing adultery and fornication, homosexuality. That's why you're going to die, and that's why you're going to go to hell if you don't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now today. You don't have to commit another sin to go to hell. You've committed enough. Because since you've been born, because you have a sinful nature, and you've committed, you made sinful choices and committed sins in God's sight. But please understand to me that, please understand with me that hell is a very real place. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never told a lie because he cannot lie. Hell is a very real place. And you will spend eternity there once you go there if you never believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a very real place. Please understand that. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news. Understand that. But I have some good news for you that you need to understand as well. And that is, Jesus Christ said the most wonderful, most loving, and most important words ever said to mankind in the history of the world, when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. All you have to do is believe in him. Church membership can't save you. Do you understand that? Singing in the choir, being a deacon, or being a preacher can't save you. Doing good work cannot save you. Being faithful to church cannot save you. Getting baptized cannot save you. Giving $1 million to the church cannot save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Do you understand? And if you understand, believe in him today. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? I told you. Do you understand? You're getting saved from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin forever in hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand? I hope you do. And if you do, pray with me the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. For I understand that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. That he is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took my place and took my sins away. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I believe with all of my heart, and I understand with all of my heart, that you died for my sins, you shed your precious blood on the cross for my sins, you suffered, bled, and died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins and turn away from my evil lifestyle and walk in the newness of life with you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand this. If you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download. You can begin reading today, almost immediately. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you, Lord, for helping people to understand the gospel, some for the first time. And we thank you for those who have believed in Jesus Christ and who have gotten saved. Help them to stand strong in the faith and help them to grow in the faith by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Lord willing, we'll see you next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.